just a word or two about the book of Acts. You see how all through this Easter season we have been looking at the life of Christ in the church. That's why we have Acts all throughout Easter. And then we have John's Gospel, because it is the most mature gospel to help us understand the mystery that we celebrate, starting with the death and resurrection and so forth. Now, so Paul went down to Ephesus. He was in Corinth, he went down to Ephesus, further east and south. And he met some disciples. Now, who were they? You know, they were very devout, and they were following a new way of life. But when he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They said, "We never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Whoop. Obviously, their faith is immature. They're not living by the fullness of faith. And he spotted that. So he asked the question, "How were you baptized?" They replied, "With the baptism of John." Now John began the baptismal movement, which our Lord continued. John tells us this, and then the disciples are baptizing and so forth. Jesus was predicting what was going to happen to him. He would be plunged into the waters of death, and he would be raised again, as we are in baptism. So, but John's was a baptism of repentance. It was repeating or receiving the baptism of conversion to Judaism. Now, these are Jews, but they take this mikvah, this baptism, as a sign of their conversion. They're going now to be true to the vocation of Judaism. Our Lord did that. He went down into that water. He came up absolutely set on his vocation as an Israelite, which was to be the Son of Man and the Savior of the world. And so, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who come after him. That is, in Jesus. Now, surely Paul didn't just say that. I mean, it might have taken days to explain to them what's going on. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name, that is, into the reality of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they were brought into the reality. You remember we gave a talk on name about a month ago, you see? And then Paul laid his hands on them, which is the completion of baptism, what we call today confirmation. You confirm what was done. Pastorally, that's quite important, because you see the idea that we baptize kids and then they live in their home and they do whatever they want to do and they go to public school and nobody looks after them, and all of a sudden now they have to go to confirmation. Confirm what? Where is their baptized life to be confirmed? When a child is baptized, the parents, the godparents, the whole community has an enormous responsibility to help that young person grow into the grace of baptism so that it can be confirmed. That's what it's for. If that doesn't happen, there's nothing to confirm, and the grace of confirmation remains dormant. As you see, that's the last thing kids have to do, is get confirmed. And after that, marsalami. Go in peace. You never see him again. Right? Why? Because it's not confirming anything. Why? Because there's no pastoral care for the youth. It's very simple. So he laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Normal. That's normal. You know, Father Killian McDonald and Father George Montague wrote a book in which they, starting with the architecture of the early churches, showed that people were baptized. They came out of the water. That was confirmed right there by the bishop anointing it with oil. And then they went into a special room where they opened up their hearts and minds to receive whatever gifts the Holy Spirit had given them. Tongues, prophecy, healing. Then they joined the community for the rest of the Eucharistic liturgy. It was normal. All right. Now I've taken a lot of time on what is not as important in a way. But it does help. The book of Acts is given us as an instruction manual. How do you baptize people? You evangelize them. And then you baptize them. And then you lay your hands on them. And then the Holy Spirit comes. And if they're children, you space that out. But you take care of them. If they don't get to a Catholic school or homeschooled, it's over. And most of these poor parents, both of them are working. See what I'm trying to say? It's a huge problem. So, the disciples say to Jesus, now you're talking plainly and not in any figurative speech. Now we realize that you know everything, that you do not need to have anyone question you to find out how much you know. Because of this, we believe that you came from God. Jesus looks at them. He says, on the basis of that, you believe? That's no faith at all. You believe? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered. Our translation, eistaia is the phrase, unto his own home. No, it means driven back into themselves. To his own, scattered, back to his own, you see. And you leave me alone. But I'm not alone. The Father is with me. Now, I've told you this. Why would I tell you all this? You see, the challenge in this text is faith. Do you believe or not? You see? In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world, and I can conquer the world in you. Not a problem for me. Just give me your life. But it does point to the fact that there are levels of faith. This is so strong in John. He doesn't quote all that moral teaching. If your brother strikes you, turn your cheek, all the stuff in the Sermon on the Mount. He doesn't quote any of that. He lives it. But he does put such an accent on faith. Faith has got to be a daily yielding to the reality of God. So, now we know how smart you are. We believe you came from God. And Jesus says, I'm smart, and that's why I came from God. And that's faith. It's not faith at all. Faith clings to the Word of God made flesh with such an unbreakable bond that nothing can shake it. That's when our faith starts to mature. And so he's kind to them. He loves them. He's going to make them his apostles. The church is still founded on them. But right now, they're not winning any prizes. You know? Now we know that you know everything, and you do not need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God. And Jesus says, on that you believe? You see what I'm trying to say? Signs and wonders, we believe. Whoa. You could. But you've got to go through the signs and wonders and commit your whole life to the person and stay faithful to that reality and that truth no matter what. That's faith. And that's the Johannine challenge always. But then he says, you see, take courage. I'll help you. I don't throw out this challenge of faith and then leave you on your own to respond to it. I don't do that, does he? He's with us every moment of the day to help us, which is the meaning of the feast we celebrated yesterday. His ascension is what? It's the divinization of his humanity so that he can be present to us. Enough.